message I wanted so badly to preach tonight. I'm going to save that until Sunday unless the Lord changes direction again. Luke chapter number 2, I just want to, this afternoon I was just reading this chapter and the account in Matthew's gospel and comparing a number of things, and this will be good just to read this as a family together tonight. Good for families to sit down and read the Bible together, isn't it? Good for families to sit down and pray together. As a family tonight, we'll just read the account of Luke chapter number 2, and I'll make some comments along the way because I'm a preacher. I can't just read. I've got to make some comments along the way. Hey, Ellie. We're just a family. We're like little kids running around our family. Good to see the Alexanders made it back there.
I think that's what it was back there.
Let's see it tonight. So, the rest of the family there. Luke chapter number 2. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And I want to say, unless you look at a map, you might not realize what kind of journey that was. They didn't just jump in their minivan and take a little trip for the afternoon. It was about an 80-mile trek along some very dangerous roads that they took. It probably would have taken them a week to make that journey. So it wasn't an easy thing for them to get to Bethlehem. They went there because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, they didn't just show up one night and have the baby the next night. They were there maybe for some time. Again, the time sequence here is something that we miss completely when we read the Bible. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, we give the innkeeper a hard time, don't we? The reality is that was not an unusual thing where they stayed in those days. There were no Motel 6s to leave the light on for you. There wasn't a hospital nearby where they could go have a baby. And it was not an unusual thing with the overcrowding in the city to clean out a room where the animals normally would stay. It was either that or sleeping under the stars. Now, personally, I would prefer to stay under the stars. But she's about to have a baby. And things were a little bit different there. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I want to say just something about those shepherds. These were not just any random shepherds out in their fields. They were in the city of David, just about a mile or 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, just south of Jerusalem. And the sheep that they were raising had one purpose. They weren't to be sheared. They weren't to be butchered. Their one purpose, these were the best of the flock of Israel's sheep. And they were raised for one purpose, and that was to be sacrificial lambs. And the shepherds were not just any shepherds. They were the best shepherds. They were the most careful, the most concerned shepherds. They were specially chosen of all the shepherds to watch these special sheep. And there they were keeping their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them.
and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not. I don't know about you, but I would have been a little bit scared. Huh? Isn't that something? God shows up, he says, Fear not. I'd have been gone. I'd have passed out or something. He says, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I've heard a lot of people talk about those swaddling clothes. The best I can figure out, they were just normal clothes that a baby would be wrapped in when they were born in those days. And they were strips of cloth that were torn to wrap around the baby to keep them warm and to clean them. It says, and suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, notice they weren't singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Notice the angels are going to heaven. The angels didn't go to Bethlehem. They didn't hover over the manger with the star and everything else. So they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the goats and the camels and the sheep. No. Just Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They left. And that's all they could talk about. Let me tell you, when you see Christ, when you see Him in His glory and realize who He is, you won't be able to stop talking about Him everywhere you go. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. I'm going to go off and talk about Mary for a while here, but we'll keep going. Verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, again, it's 8 days later, his name was called Jesus. Not chosen by Joseph, not chosen by Mary, not even a vote between the husband and wife of what his name would be called, but his name by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And what does that name mean? Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Jehoshia is salvation. Jehovah, the I Am. We've been talking about that on Sunday morning in the incarnation. Jehovah is salvation. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And by the way, if you were to look that up in Leviticus 12, the days of her purification would have been 80 days later. This would have been some time later. 80 days later. They brought him to present him to the Lord. And it was written in the law of, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. There's where Jesus is the priest, the firstborn male of every family. Is a priest before God chose the Levites to be priests in the Old Testament. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said unto the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Oh, how I love Simeon. One of my favorite characters of the whole story in Luke chapter number 2. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. What an unusual man. Now keep in mind, the Holy Ghost did not indwell believers yet. The Holy Ghost came upon certain people in the Old Testament economy, if you will. And the Holy Ghost was upon this man. He was just, he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the promise of God, for the Messiah. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, what a walk he had with God, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What an amazing promise that is. I wonder how old he was. But he knew that he would not die until he got a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, Simeon, this is the day. This is the day you get to see him. And he came by the Spirit. The Spirit led him to the temple. And when his parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, we picture John the Baptist introducing Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry. Here's Simeon introducing Jesus at the beginning of his life. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon said, this is all I've been living for. This is life. What does Jesus mean to us? This is all there is in life. The only thing I desire in life is to see the salvation of Israel, the promise of Israel, the promised Son of God. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. God raised the nation of Israel for was just to bring the Messiah into the world and to be his chosen people. And now we as Gentiles are a part of that family. And then in verse number 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Notice it says, it didn't say his mother and his father. Joseph and his mother, Jesus' mother, marveled at those things. They wonder in amazement. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. It's a rejection of the nation of Israel, their own Messiah spoken of. He says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. What was going through Mary's mind at that time? Your heart's going to be broken like never before when you see what this child is going to become. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And let me say, God's in the business of revealing what's in our heart. We like to hide what's in our heart, don't we? God shows us what's in our heart if we're honest with Him. And it's a painful thing for Him to show us what's truly in our heart. And then there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. That's a polite way of saying she's an old lady, right? And had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. That's a lot of years, you add them up. I'm not sure exactly how we add them. I've heard a number of different ways exactly what her age was, but nonetheless, she was a senior saint. which departed not from the temple, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. And I've learned, the longer I live and the longer I serve God, the more I realize the value of godly ladies who pray, who seek God. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem or Israel. This is the Messiah. This is the one. Now there's actually quite a gap between verse 38 and 39 that we don't see in the reading of the Gospel of Luke. Matthew chapter 2 fills in the details of where Joseph and Mary, and they stayed in Bethlehem for some time, the city of David. Now, in fact, the wise men had come, gone in Bethlehem. Now they'd made their flight to Egypt until it was safe for them to go back, and God warned them to leave, to go to Egypt, and then gave them another vision and said, it's now safe to go back to your home. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Now Jesus is a young boy. And he's growing as a child, as a normal child. That he was God in the flesh. I wanted to talk to you about that tonight, but we'll save that for Sunday. But the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here's a young boy that's demonstrating spirituality. The wisdom of God, the grace of God was upon him. Of course, you say, well, he was God. Yes, he was fully God. He was fully man, too. His deity was veiled in humanity. He learned obedience like a son. He grew just like any other Jewish child would have grown. Yet he was without sin. And now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the feast of the Passover. And now when he's 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now he's old enough. He's a 12-year-old boy. He's old enough to go to Jerusalem with mom and dad. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And I remember Jerusalem was down by just a little ways from Bethlehem. It was a long trek from their home back to Jerusalem. A number of days it would take to make that entire journey. They traveled a day and realized, he's not with us, this group. He's not with us. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. I wonder where Jesus ate for those 3 days. I wonder where he slept. I wonder where he stayed. You ever wonder about things like that? Well, he must have just moved in with somebody. I don't know. And all that heard him were astonished at his question, at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Notice Mary said, thy father, and Jesus, though Joseph was not his father, he was obedient to him like he was a father. He was a stepfather. And yet he learned obedience to his stepfather and to his heavenly father, his real father. And he said unto them, and I'm going to point out something else. I'll just mention this for a minute. A lot of questions, I think, regarding Mary. And even when Jesus began his earthly ministry, pointed this out when folks came to, when Jesus went back to minister in his hometown, in his own family, including Mary and his brothers, came to the crowd trying to get to Jesus, and they couldn't get to him because of the press. And the reason they came to Jesus, wanted to talk to Jesus, because they wanted to protect him. They didn't understand what he was doing. And they pretty much were saying, Jesus, you need to tone this down a little bit. This is going to take your life if you don't quit doing these things and saying the things that you're saying. They weren't completely sure of what was going on, and his own brothers didn't receive him till after his crucifixion. And Jesus and Mary herself, though she pondered those things in her heart, though she knew who Jesus was at his birth, and yet, you know, we say, well, I know I'm saved, but I'm just not sure what God's doing. You ever get that feeling? Of course, some folks are too spiritual to admit that. God, I know you're my Savior. I know that you're the Messiah. I know that I'm going to get to heaven, but how do I get through these circumstances? How do I get from here to there? And Mary, even at this time, was confused. Jesus, what are you doing? She should have said, wow, he's the Son of God. Look at what he's doing. And instead, she was rebuking him. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? See, Jesus had a bigger purpose than mom and dad, than his earthly responsibilities. He came to die. The song says he was born to die. He knew that. His family didn't always know that. Even his disciples, when they traveled with him, really didn't understand till after the resurrection what he claimed to be. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They didn't get it. Just like when we read through the Gospels, we read the disciples really didn't get it. They were looking for a Messiah that would deliver them from the nation of Israel, and didn't realize that he was much more than that. He was the one that would deliver them from their sin, deliver them from the condemnation of death. But they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. You know, some of us who read maps realize that if you're going from south to north, you're not going down. And if you look at a map, Jerusalem is to the south and Nazareth is to the north. And I thought, God, you messed up. God, don't you know how to read a map? But we're going north, and you're talking about going down to Nazareth. You know, it's because Jerusalem is the place where God chose to dwell with his people. And anywhere from Jerusalem is down. Doesn't matter if it's north, south, east, or west. God knows how to read a map. But he's just saying that anytime we get away from that place where God has chosen to meet with his people, in that place where the temple is, in that place where the sacrifices are made, in that place where Jesus would one day be crucified, anywhere from there is down. And anywhere we go from the cross is down. Anywhere we go from the Messiah is down. But he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. I think that's an amazing statement right there. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Again, she knew. But she had questions. Just like you and I, we know, but we have questions. God, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know that you work all things for good, but I've got some questions I want to ask you right now. Are you sure this is right? Are you sure this is what we should be doing? Yet she knew in her heart. And she knew that one day her son would be given the sacrifice. His heel will be bruised. And he'll crush Satan's head. She didn't know how it was all going to work out. But she knew that somehow in the end it was going to happen. And as for the child, Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. What a pattern we see for Jesus in his earthly life. As a man, as a boy, he increased in wisdom and stature. I don't believe some of the fairy tales that some folks say, well, you know, Jesus was out playing in the yard someday with some of his buddies and somebody stole his Tonka truck and he zapped it and made a new one. No, he didn't do anything like that. He didn't have supernatural, didn't display supernatural knowledge. He was God, yes. But his deity was not yet revealed. I don't understand all of that, and I probably can't explain it properly. But Jesus grew just like any young person would. He memorized scripture. He learned to read. He learned to walk. He learned how to obey. He learned to obey his parents. He learned to do everything just like any child would do. And he increased in wisdom. That means he studied. He learned to read. And in stature, he grew just like any other child. And he learned to grow in favor with God and with man. Of course, he was God. And you know, even in his adult life, and even his ministry, you say, well, why did Jesus pray? Who was he praying to? We're supposed to pray to him. But he was demonstrating to us his humanity and his deity, and giving us an example to follow. He grew in favor with God and with man. Learn to talk to people, learn to love people, learn to get along with people as any child would do. Learn to follow the training and the teaching of his own parents, his mother and stepfather. Oh, what a Savior we have. That in all points he was tempted like as you and I, without sin. That he grew and developed just like any young man. Yet, he was God in the flesh. He had no sin nature. The incarnation of God, as we've been talking about on Sunday morning, is something that, you know, oh yeah, God became a man. What all does that entail? How exactly did that work? And we can fill in the blanks and we can think that we figured it out. But the more I study it, the more I realize I don't really understand all of it. But I know he is God. And I know that he is my Savior. Amen? And I know that he works all things together. Not according to my good, but according to his good. And now I don't understand how he does things in our lives, but I'm so glad that we can trust him. And I'm so glad that we can rest in him, because he is God. He is the very personification of love, of mercy, and grace. And oh, how we need to learn to walk with him. Look at his life, beginning at really before his birth. When he was first conceived of the Holy Spirit, the spring before his birth. And his childhood. And we focus on his earthly ministry when he was revealed who he was. And then, of course, his resurrection proved who he was. But there's a whole lot of life that happened between his birth and his resurrection. And there's a whole lot of questions that even those that were dearest and nearest to him had, that they struggled with. Thank God, eventually, God shows us what we need to know. Amen.
And what a Savior we have. Oh, our Father, I pray that you would